FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here with my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory.
Hey, hey, how are you?
Great to see you, my friend.
You how too. Are you? Another week, another dollar.
That is right. Chad Ellis.
How's it going?
Producer is in the studio as
extraordinary.
Well.
Good choice on
yes.
music today.
And coming up in the next segment and for the rest of the show, we're going to have our old friend Sheriff Dave Marshak.
Can't wait.
From Jefferson County in studio with us. So we will get a chance to pick the sheriff's brain about some news stories, gun news stories that have been in the area recently
yep.
and also nationally. So always fascinating to talk to the sheriff. Good information from him.
Absolutely.
So you don't want to miss any of that.
He is by far my favorite guest.
Yeah.
He's really cool to talk to.
Yeah.
And very receptive. And he's on Twitter and he's on Facebook as well. And you can chat him up there. And that's how I kind of got acquainted with him was just chatting him up.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Sheriff, why don't you come on my radio show?
Yeah, and he doesn't mess around.
No, he's a very straightforward man.
Yeah, I love it.
I really do. He's
yep.
He is an elected sheriff, too, so he's technically a politician.
Right. So that makes it
even better.
Even better. And,
yep.
yeah, you get straightforward answers. Even though he's an elected sheriff, which kind of makes him a politician,
kind of.
You
yeah.
don't very much a politician, but you don't get politician like answers. You don't
right.
get political answers from him.
I tell you what, he's I mean, I'm not going to say he's like Donald Trump, but you know,
he's very plain spoken.
He's very much so, and then he's got the Twitter account, so there's definitely some correlation there.
Yes,
but he's really awesome. So if you're not following him on Twitter or Facebook, you should go do that. You know what I got?
What's that?
I got a top fan badge for the Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Marshak because I comment,
nice.
I guess, on his stuff
nice.
So much. So he's go interact. He's just some great info. Some of the stories we're going to talk about today, obviously, were breaking on the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department's Facebook and Twitter accounts, and that's how I found out about it. And of course, this all goes down when I'm out of town and enjoying our holiday for 4th of July.
Yep. What is happening in Southern Armory?
Oh, man, what's not going on down there?
All right.
I love it. Got a big shipment in, holsters, cases. We're expecting our 1791 and Sabre orders to be in here shortly. So big, big restocks going on right now. So if you're looking for stun gun or taser, we had some people buying bear spray, which was, yeah, I don't know. I was like, is there some of the news that I missed? You know? There's a guy in Smoky Mountains I saw that tried to kind of entice the cubs to come over. Did you see this video?
Oh, yeah. I didn't see the video.
Oh, man.
I heard the story, though.
Mama Bear was not having it. And I was like,
yeah.
what a dumb guy.
And apparently it wasn't just like once. Apparently it went on
twice.
And on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the video I saw was twice. And so he's at the rear of the car and he's like, you know, trying to get the cubs to come up to him. He's trying to offer him stuff. And the cubs are looking at him like, I don't think so, you know. And they're kind of trotting along to get in on the other side of the vehicles. And he runs to the front of the vehicle and tries to entice him again. And then Mama comes up and charges him and is like, ah. And I was like, I was dying at this point, you know. I could just picture my wife getting that protective stance over
right.
over Piper. And I've actually seen that with Ancha. When Piper was really, really little, we had this lady come in the store, and she ran up, and she's like, I want to hold the baby, I want to hold the baby. And Ancha was just laying under the chair, under my feet, and Ancha stands up, looks at her, and stacks. If you got a German Shepherd, you know, they do that, like, swoop leg thing, stacks, and Ancha gives her the old, and I was like, yeah, the babysitter said no. She's like, but I want to hold the baby. I'm like, The babysitter said no.
Right.
I'm sorry. You know, you probably shouldn't have run up here so quick. You know, you set the alarm off. So that's exactly what happened, you know. And I think it's so interesting that, you know, parents of all species are that same way with their kids, you know, like adults. And,
yeah.
And you know, I saw it right firsthand with my dog. And
protective
yeah. or
instinct.
It could have been Dada Bear, Daddy Bear,
that's
too.
A good point.
You know, I don't know. But
nobody
either.
Checked.
Yeah, I didn't look. I was like, this guy's going to get eaten. But anyway, so yeah, they got some bear spray from Sabre. So and they're like big fire extinguishers. They're actually pretty cool. My wife's like, do you think we should stock these? And I'm like, we've sold like four of these. in like the 6 years the store's been open.
Right.
Like, probably not a stocking item. I'm just going to throw that out there. So, but if you need bear spray.
That could be one of those that somebody sees and it's an impulse
deal, yeah.
So,
you know.
You never know.
So if you need a fire extinguisher of bear spray, and bear spray, actually, it's funny that we're talking about that, but it's not the same formula they use on people.
No.
So, yeah, it's not an FDA-approved...
It's not just stronger pepper spray.
Well, I guess it's stronger, but it has ingredients in it that are not FDA-approved for people. And then they say that the people version won't really work on bears. So it's a different formula. So when I was talking to Saber...
Well, then that puts a whole lot of questions in my head. So if you hit somebody with the bear spray,
it's not good for you legally.
So yeah. Ooh. So okay.
Yeah, it would be
so
I guess like using a poison.
Into your car and you have the bear spray and that's it. Spray them with the bear spray.
And then hopefully
breaking the law.
Yeah, I mean
someone
hopefully the cops just
if they're breaking in your car though.
Right. Yeah. Right. So you know because this might be a question for the sheriff, but from my understanding of it, it'd be like you know using a poison. Right.
We were gonna
if you use a wasp spray or an ant spray or something like that, and you spray a person with it, you know it's illegal because it's not meant for human consumption. It's not regulated by the FDA because you got to remember pepper spray is regulated by the FDA, and you can literally Google right now if you're driving, you can pull over and what we call GTS. Okay, it's Google that stuff. You can use a different S word, and you can type in pepper spray chili. And there is literally a recipe out there for pepper spray chili. Now, I will forewarn you, do not use the combo spray because there's combo sprays that include like CS, which is just tear gas. CS is just the designation the military gives it. You just want to use a straight pepper spray, not a combo spray.
So, okay.
Yeah, pepper spray chili. It's Google
it. Here's a dumb question.
Yeah, what's up, buddy?
Is there pepper in pepper spray? Or is it just, I always just thought it was a...
It's what makes pepper...
Clever name.
No, that's good. So, pepper spray is made hot by OC, and I'm going to butcher the actual name, but it's like capsium. I can't say the old word.
But it's not toxic?
No, you can eat it. Yeah, that's why you can spray it on people, but the bear spray is not safe to spray on people. And so Saber, and so I did the Saber pepper spray instructor course, which was a great course. I mean, up until the... part where you got to experience it, but great, like that, Chad. Great course take.
I've experienced mace,
and it
me,
sucks.
Me as well.
It sucks.
It's
so,
not good.
Absolutely sucks. So, but we have the training sprays too. So when you come into Southern Army, you've never used pepper spray before. I wasn't expecting to really talk about pepper spray, but we got other stuff we talk about too. But
if you've
never used pepper spray before, there's a learning curve, right? There's like four different types of pepper spray. There's a straight stream, which is like a garden hose.
Yeah.
There's like a cone. They got like an ice cream cone. You spray it out, right? And then you have a foam and you have a gel. Mm-hmm. And there's different application techniques for each. I like the cone.
Would the cone be the fogger?
Yeah, the fogger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be another name for it. A cone shape and makes kind of a hissing sound. That's kind of different. But it goes around glasses. And that was the whole idea behind it. Doesn't have the reach that the straight stream would have.
Right.
So I use like a combination of sprays depending on what I'm doing, where I'm at. So like the foam is good or the gel is good if you're going to be in a confined space like the back of an ambulance.
Yeah.
Right. And then you can just put it on them and then you can wipe it up with a wet rag and everything is okay. So then the other one I use is the fog. The fog will get on your hands because obviously it's coming out like a fog. Or you can use a straight stream. Straight stream's fine too. You just like a garden hose. You know, you just spray them left to right.
No, that's what I have.
Yeah. And then
all of mine are the straight stream.
So if you've never...
Because it goes about 20 feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's long.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never used it before, people are like, well, how do I know how it's going to come out? Well, there's a learning curve, right?
Yeah.
So I always tell people, like, if you're going to get the fogger, you go up and down like you're painting a wall. Right? You put it dead center on them, up and down, up and down, up and down, and you're just going to paint them. Everything's going to get hit. Everything.
Right.
It's going to be horrible for them. And the straight streamers, like, kind of go left and right, aim for the face.
Yep.
And they're like, is it hard to aim? And, well, we have the little training sprays at Southern Armor. You can come in and buy them, right? So you can buy. Sometimes we even get the combos where you can get the straight stream, like the live stuff. It's in a black container. And then you can get the...
The practice stuff
that's in a blue and clear container. Yes, and do not get them too confused because you're going to make somebody miserable.
Yes.
So, and they're like, well, how do dogs react to it? And so, you know, Asha's always around the shop, and I don't mind using her, my wife, or my kid as a demo. Yeah. So I pull it out, and I go, watch this, and I start hitting Asha with it. And Asha's like, oh, no, what is this? And starts, like, running away. You know, it's she's pretty funny. I was like, but, you know, they make a dog spray, too, not to be used on humans. And they make a dog spray, too. So depending on what your end goal is, you know, whether it's you're trying to fend off a bear, you're trying to fend off a dog, you're trying to fend off a human, they make a specific formulated spray to affect that species.
Yeah.
And then we've got the training spray, so you can figure out how it comes out before you're put in that tense situation of doing it. So, yeah, come in and get a training spray. They're cheap. They're just a few bucks. I don't know why people don't buy them more. I mean, we've been stocking them for years, and we do sell them.
Yeah.
So if you've never used pepper spray, you got a kid getting ready to go off to college. I saw a couple buddies on Facebook, and they're up at orientation at UMSL, and one buddy said, I'm here for the free food. He had the sign. I was dying.
Go Tritons.
So there's an alum here. So I was dying, you know. And
my
I was like, yeah.
Too.
You know, there's a ton of stuff going on right now. So, yeah, it's not a bad deal. We also have the safety kits for college campuses.
Yeah.
Again, I wouldn't expect to talk about this, but we talked about
Totally buy the... Yeah. I mean, if you're buying the pepper spray, you should buy
the safety kit.
The safety kit, so too, so you can just practice right safety.
So what's actually in the safety kit?
The safety kit's pretty cool, actually. And if I was in college, I would probably have one, especially if I was a girl, that has the drink tester in it. So if they're out, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-olds are never going to drink alcohol. But they can have a little coaster. It's kind of discreet, and they can take a little straw and put a little dip on there, and it'll tell them if their drink's been tampered with.
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat. They have the personal alarm, which also flashes a light and has like 100-something decibel alarm, so they can pull the string and strobes, makes a horrible shrieking noise. And then they have a door wedge. So these kits are, like, there's generally like three products in one of the kits, so... then there's a door wedge that you can put on the door of your college campus, or like some of these kids are going to be driving, so they may stay in a hotel overnight. You can put that wedge in there, and then it wedges the door, so if someone tries to open it, it'll stop it, and then it sets the alarm off, so they know. They wake up, and they go, oh, wow, there's somebody trying to get in here. The last product is the peephole. So if your college campus dorm room has the peephole, generally those, when I was in college, you could unscrew them, and so that was kind of like a joke. Like, guys would unscrew them, push it through, and then like one guy in our college dorm, they stuck a fire extinguisher up against that hole.
Oh
yeah, man, and just filled his room. And I walk into his room, and I'm like, "What are you cleaning up? Holy, what happened in here?" He's like, "Fire extinguisher." I was like, "That would explain that fire extinguisher that's empty that I found." So, you know, you can put a little cover on there so they can't see in.
Yeah,
so it's
cool.
It's kind of a neat deal. And again, you can get these, and we can ship them to your kids at school, too. So if you want to do a care package, let us know. We'll drop it in the mail to them. Or if you're going to send them a care package, my wife's family would always send her beef jerky, Swedish fish, a couple other things.
Yeah.
You know, but the beef jerky and the Swedish swish are the sweetest.
Swedish fish. Yep.
Would stick out because she couldn't get those. It was like Amish beef jerky. I think it was horrible, personally. But my wife really liked it because it was a taste of home. But yeah, that's about it. And then other stuff going on at Southern Armory. We've got a CCW class tomorrow. There's like 10, 11, 12 people in there, so we're almost completely full. So if you want to take your CCW class, you can call the shop right now, 314-965-GUNS. That's 314-965-GUNS. That's 4867 for those of you that don't have the numbers on your phone or the letters correlated with the numbers. And you can talk to Jess and say, hey, I want to get in on that CCW class, and I got two spots left. So we'll do them for $85 a piece for a listener. Normally $125.
Nice.
Great
so,
deal.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking like $40 off.
Take advantage of
about
that.
About a third off. So take advantage of it. Come in, hang out with me for a day. We'll do a little shooting, talk about some laws, play on the firearms training simulator, which you, if you have a CCW permit, you should get in and use this firearms training simulator.
Heck yeah.
The training simulator, we got a demo video on southernarmory.com.
Southernarmory.com.
That's southernarmory.com.
And you can watch us. I know, I snuck it in. And you guys can check out, you know, shooting zombies, shooting, you know, in home intruders, home invaders, parking lots, you know, where guys are trying to rob you. All these scenarios that the CCW permit holder could come across. You got to remember, you are behind the eight ball. You don't know you're going to get robbed.
Right.
You don't. You're completely clueless. Because if, you know, first rule of a gunfight, you know what the first rule of a gunfight is?
Don't get in a gunfight?
Bring all your buddies.
Okay.
You know what the second rule of a gunfight is? Bring all your buddies with their guns. Right? Because you know, you're going into it. You know, right? So the reality is, you know, you should always be armed. And I know that we've had several instances where I've said, hey, you're your own first responder, so you need to have a little bit of medical training. You know, you need to know how to put on a tourniquet,
right?
And you need to know how to, you know, secure an airway, whether it's a nasal airway or an oral airway, just to keep it open. And then you need to have a firearm. You need to be proficient with that. Mm-hmm. So the firearms training simulator, CCW class or advanced classes, even private instruction, we've had some of that going on here. We take you out to our private range, and man, we shoot stuff like crazy, and it's a lot of fun. So you can do all that. Private instruction, people kind of were like surprised. It's 2 hours for $100 for two people.
Wow.
That's $50 a person for 2 hours of shooting. To kind of put this in correlation here,
man, that's awesome.
It's like $25 an hour at an indoor range plus target fees.
Right.
Right. And you don't get an instructor. So you go for 2 hours, that's like $50 just at an indoor range. Here you're getting an instructor, you're getting a private range.
Yeah.
And we provide targets.
That's great.
That's a good deal, especially if you've got a buddy or a wife. Or a kid that's into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have some things you need to bring, like a holster and a mag pouch and just little stuff that you should probably already have if you're concealed carrying. So it's not a big deal. Or if you're going to get into USPSA, this is a good little intro to kind of get on that. So, again, you can come in and see us. We're 1 mile east of 270 and 44, 9901 Watson Road and SouthernArmory.com.
SouthernArmory.com.
That's SouthernArmory.com.
Hit that awesome playout music, Mr.
Yes.
Producer.
Sheriff Dave Marshak, Sheriff from Jefferson County, is here. He is going to be joining us for the rest of the show. Something you definitely don't want to miss.
I can't wait.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Yep, with more Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1.
Talk on the radio.
Oh, okay.
Not off the radio.
Oh, so we're going to give them so they can't hear the side comments. All right.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. It's FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo here in studio with Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, our producer Chad Ellis, and as I mentioned in the last segment, joining us now in studio for the rest of the show, our friend Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County.
Good afternoon.
Great to see you, Sheriff.
Good
thanks so much.
Yeah. Good to see you guys.
Yeah, thanks for coming
good.
Back in.
You go on a holiday vacation? You're all tan and stuff right now.
I'm an outdoor guy.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I don't spend too much time inside.
Went to Florida and came home with an awesome tan. I was starting to fade a little bit.
So I have questions that have been submitted by listeners that I think that you can help answer,
awesome.
Sheriff. We have a couple of local stories that I kind of want to get your thoughts on as well. But first, how are things going this summer in Jefferson County?
Good. Things are busy, but nothing out of the ordinary and nothing unexpected. Our crime trends in a positive light are going down in Jefferson County. Mm-hmm. A little concerned about some of these recent Supreme Court rules and how they're going to impact us. But, you know, looking at our stats for the first quarter of 2019, it's safe Jefferson County, and we're excited about the progress that we're making. And we'll continue to try and do everything that we can to make, you know, Jefferson County needs to be safe, not just for Jefferson Countyans, but for the entire region. If you have quality law enforcement throughout the entire region, it's going to benefit everybody. And so so we continue to do our part.
Yeah.
Car break-ins are down. I follow him on the Twitter. You guys issued a bunch of arrest warrants. I was like, yeah, go get them.
Well, you know, it only takes one or two people to really impact your community. And about 10 days ago, we had four separate investigations that resulted in arrests. And, you know, those four individuals were responsible for more than 50 crimes, breaking into vehicles, and then you know, if they were able to obtain a credit card, use it to shop, and you know, it's important for, you know, law enforcement to have those tools. Bond is one of them, to keep people in jail. But we'll see how these latest decisions impact our community and how it impacts the state of Missouri. But I have a feeling it's not going to go in a positive way.
I think it's going to be a lot like Senate Bill 5. So what Sheriff Marshak, I think we touched about this a few weeks ago, was the now there's a no bond issue. So as long as they don't have basically a flight risk and there's not a violent history in the past, they can be released on no bond.
Right.
Is that pretty much right?
Pretty much. That's correct. Catch and release program. In the example that I cited earlier with those four individuals, you're going to have a hard time justifying under the new Supreme Court rules that those people need to maintain custody or that they need to post a bond. And so, you know, from our perspective, look, they created quite a few victims
out there.
You've been a victim before.
Right.
Somebody breaking
very
into
recently
your vehicle.
Here.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's a little disheartening looking at our community and realizing that somebody's going to have another opportunity to go out and create more victims before they're held accountable. And that's just not right. It's not right for the victims to be victims once and then get victimized by the system
the second time,
the second go-around.
And,
so,
and for me, it was just a you know, Kenwood ham radio that's a couple $100 you know, used. And I was telling, I think, Tony and Chad, you know, like I had a bag of ammunition in the center console, too, man, and I guess he saw that, and he saw an empty holster in the floor because the truck I take and, you know, do training days, and I leave my extra ammo in there because sometimes I forget targets and ammo and whatever. But he rifled through the truck hard, that center console, and my wife's like, is there a gun in there? I'm like, no, what are you, crazy? Like, you don't leave guns in vehicles.
But,
like, that's not our style.
You know, there are, you know, those that feel comfortable leaving weapons in their firearms or correction in their car, and so that can happen. But I'll tell you, the
is that
the
legal?
Bigger concern,
can you leave
it
your
is.
Gun
it
in,
is legal.
In your,
it is
locked
legal.
In your car?
It is
that's
legal.
Fine.
And I would highly recommend a vehicle safe if you're going to do it. They're bolted down, they're really hard, you know, it's just not a grab and go kind of thing.
Exactly. And I understand, you know, logistically sometimes it can be difficult. I always have a firearm on me or in my vehicle. But, you know, there's a responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, the bigger concern is probably this narrative that's out there that disincarceration is good for the community.
Horrible.
It's not.
Yeah.
You know, there are people, and I've been doing this as my 28th year, that need to be in jail. And if they're not in jail, they're going to be creating victims and they're going to be committing crimes. That's what they know. It's what they do. And I think we really need to tread lightly with this myth and really look at the numbers. And my concern is for the future, I think more people are going to push that narrative, particularly some of those on the extreme left. And we should be very cautious. I warn that we need to tread carefully on this, and I think the decisions we make today are going to really impact crime in the future.
So you, Sheriff, you've been in before, and we talked about red flag laws. That was a big story in the legislative session, not just here in the state of Missouri, but across the country and some other states as well. We didn't get one, thankfully, passed, or even I don't even think it made it to the floor here in Missouri, and that has a lot to do with our Republican supermajority. But we saw other states that don't have that Republican supermajority that pass these red flag laws. We've talked to you about those before and how dangerous they can be. And then now the other hot button issue on a national stage, kind of what we're touching on a little bit here, is the sanctuary city idea.
Yeah.
With the idea of putting, you know, these sanctuary cities that are popping up all across the country as well. Could you just talk about From a 30,000-foot perspective, we don't have to get, you know, down into the weeds, but just laws like the red flag laws and the sanctuary cities, how does that make your job as a law enforcement officer easier or more difficult?
Well, I take it as,
I'd imagine it's way more difficult, but I'll let you answer.
I will tell you, I take the responsibility that in the position that it's my responsibility to look out for our community and victims, potential victims, to keep our community safe. And so, you know, through legislation, we have frequent contact, we take positions. And, you know, some could argue that maybe that's not necessarily the position of a chief executive law enforcement officer for a county. But I think it's that important to protect our community that we need to take a position. We need to let our legislators know where we stand on some of these issues to make sure that we have a safe community. And that's really what it comes down to, the position that we need to keep our community safe and that we need to keep the law enforcement officers that are tasked with keeping our community safe, keep them well-funded and well-equipped so they're in a position to do that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the new patrol cars look great. Are you guys in on that contest, the best-looking patrol car?
No.
Have you seen that?
No.
You need to
no,
get in on
No, we just
that,
wanted, you know, it was time for some changes, and
right.
We've been making a number of changes throughout the county that will impact our community, and all of them in a positive way. And we just thought it was time for some updating and cleaner look.
Putting computers in there now, too.
We've got a lot of different projects going that will both make our community safer and protect our officers. And
and
so we continue
make them more efficient, too. You know, we've doing the paramedic program, I did a lot of ride-alongs in Jefferson County, and I'd come across your officers, extremely professional, extremely polite, just nicest guys ever. And I can give you names later
if you're looking for promotions later.
No, you know?
It's great to hear. I received an email from a St. Louis County veteran yesterday thanking one of our officers, and he had had a couple of different incidences in which he dealt with our organization over the last few years, and it was very positive. And again, we appreciate it. We work hard to hire good people and retain good people, and you know, we want to keep our officers well equipped, well funded, well trained. So when you call upon them, you're getting a professional police officer.
And I think that's one of the biggest reasons officers leave departments and fire and EMS too, is we don't have good equipment. We you know, we get poor training. You know, wages suck, you know, tons of overtime, you know, and then they don't feel, you know, appreciated. I hope you shared that comment with the officers involved when you got it from the veteran.
Yeah, I do.
You know, because I think that feedback definitely makes them go, hey, man, I'm seeing them. You know, we had the break-in, the vehicle, you know, theft at the house. And I was talking to the officer and I was like, hey, do I know you? And he's like, yeah, you look real familiar too. And I was like, yeah, you ever go in a gun store? And he's like, oh, yeah, I go to Southern Armory. I said, yeah, that's... I own Southern Armory. So, you know, then him and I were, you know, chit-chatting. And he's like, yeah, I thought your daughter and dog looked familiar, you know, because Piper and Ant were at the house with me. And regardless, you know, I sent him an email. Hey, thanks for your professionalism. And, you know, it sucked that we had to meet under, you know, like these horrible circumstances. He sends me an email back and he goes, yeah, he goes, that's, we never meet people under the greatest of circumstances.
Yeah,
and and now I'm racking my brain going, man, how can we get, you know, officers into the community where they're not meeting people that have been victimized. That's kind of, you know.
And that's a challenge, right?
Yeah.
It's a challenge for our profession. You know, the reality is a lot of people like to see those things where the officer is mowing a lawn, right? We've seen that pop up in the paper.
Right.
You know, okay, well, you know, the officer's playing with kids. The reality is, you know, for us, as we continue to grow, we want our officers focusing on core competencies and making sure that they're professional when you call upon them, that they have the training. And those are, you know, feel good stories, and they're nice to see here and there. And
they humanize the profession.
They do, but you know, it's not really, you know, we have a community relations section that gets out in the community, and of course we encourage a community policing aspect, but you know, when you're a victim of a crime, you want some competence there.
Right,
and
I agree.
Do we really focus on that?
You don't want the guy to have to stop mowing the grass to come answer your call because he was, you know, exactly.
It's great. I'm not knocking. And by the way, that's a personal friend of mine. I called him after I saw that pop up and gave him trouble. But
that's funny.
Yeah.
So do you guys hand out baseball cards still to kids? I remember when I was young and growing up, that the cops would come through the subdivision and they'd pull, hey, how's everybody doing?
No,
and they'd give us, you know, like Cardinals baseball cards.
You know,
and
we don't. We do spend some money on paraphernalia and encourage people to, you know, wear their, you know, safety seatbelt T-shirts and whatnot. But no more baseball cards.
You mentioned you mentioned the upgrade in the vehicles and the technology and that sort of stuff. Is that... is transparency and communication between departments getting better, and does that technology help with that, or is that still kind of a struggle? Like, you know, when you pull somebody over, they may have a record in St. Louis City or somewhere else, but it's not popping up on your screens. Has that gotten better as technology's gotten better, or is that still an issue?
Definitely. The interoperability between St. Louis City, St. Louis County, ourselves, and St. Charles County has made significant changes and improvements. Our new computer aid dispatching system, we recently signed a contract, and that was one of the reasons and the necessities for the computer upgrades in all the cars, is so that we can have that communication and have that shared information that's flowing back and forth. And so without a doubt, the Fusion Center provided by, you know, St. Louis County and St. Louis City benefits everybody in this community.
Yeah. Talking to Sheriff Dave Marshak of Jefferson County. Is Jefferson County, I imagine, is one of the biggest growing areas in the St. Louis region. Does that introduce any unique issues for policing that area if your population is continuing to expand?
It does. You know, we have growing pains like everybody else, not only from a community aspect in terms of government workings, but also we continue to grow as an organization. Our challenge is synonymous with other organizations right now is finding very qualified people who want to be in law enforcement. So we continue to recruit and encourage people to join the profession and get involved with their community. And that challenge exists as we continue to grow and we continue to expand each year. And with our successful passage of Proposition P, we will continue to grow and add additional officers each year. So that's probably, you know, one of the biggest challenges is to keep and maintain people.
Has Proposition P paid off the way?
It's done wonders for
us. Okay, good. You know,
that's really good
to hear.
And I will tell you that as a result of Proposition P, we've only lost three officers to higher paying organizations as a result since last April.
That was
and that speaks volumes,
question.
You know, about how where we are as an organization and what our future holds, that we really have stability.
That's great because, you know, there was a lot of debate on where that money was going to go and how it was going to be spent. We knew it was, you know, dedicated to law enforcement, but you never know.
Yeah, they pull it out, pull it out of the general funds.
It's great to hear that it's going to the right thing.
There are organizations throughout the region that have passed public safety tax initiatives to benefit first responders. And I think we all know too well the organizations that play games with that money.
Yep.
That is not the situation in Jefferson County. I can stand here and tell you today that our county council unanimously supported this, and they haven't taken any money from us, and they support us, and they want a safe community, and they know what it's going to take.
That's awesome.
And we're heading in the right direction.
When you got
stuff.
The backup, that's great.
Yep. Oh. That is Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County. He's going to stick around for another segment. You should too. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1. All right, which one of you did this this week?
All right, so
who did this?
Well,
this
welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. I'm your host, Aaron, with Tony. And
which one of you did this?
Not Aaron.
The music.
Who is that?
The music today.
It was Slipknot.
I know who it is.
Yeah, I'm saying who picked it.
I did.
Okay. Well, we know who to blame then. I said, I'm like, this is like a fight song, man. Like, I'm getting ready to go at it.
The music
today. I felt like today was like an amp day, so we shouldn't slow it down.
I'm with you, you know. But, I mean, you could have chose, like, my suggestion, like DMX Rough Riders, which Piper, we were driving in the Jeep, and I look in the rearview mirror, and this song comes on. I got my Spotify on, you know, which is normally like 90s rock alternative, and I look in my rearview mirror and I see, you know, like, you know, singing the Rough Rider, you know, and I see Piper like throwing right jabs and left hooks. And I'm like, I tap my wife. I said, you see this? She goes, oh, yeah. And so my wife starts videotaping her. So I had to put it on Facebook, of course. And then, you know, guys at the firehouse were giving me heart. I can't believe you exposed your daughter to that filthiest music. And I'm like, what would you listen to? They're like, Joy FM. And I go, let me show you this Joy FM picture I got. And it's somebody says, you know, it's 99.1 Joy FM on their shirt while they're on a motorcycle. And I'm like, well, at least they gave me warning. I let them stay in front of me. When they lay it down, I'll get out, throw a tourniquet on it, hang out. You know, like it's horrible, you know. I know, man.
All right, okay.
Well, I want to send a special apology to
track.
Piper that I didn't play her favorite song.
Well, I wouldn't go with favorite. She also liked Crazy Game of Poker, which I suggested to you. So, you know.
Yeah, I didn't like
the Crazy
song.
Game of Poker.
I listened. I was like, yeah, that's enough for me.
We're very like OAR.
Still,
you know,
played
like,
that last song though.
Before
the Slipknot.
Yeah,
man,
the crazy woman.
All right.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Stop. Then we have company over. Don't do this in front of guests.
Knock it off, kids.
I'm good.
He's over here enjoying it. He's smiling, you know.
You're back on Second Amendment Radio, FM News Talk 97.1. Appreciate you listening. We have Sheriff Dave Marshak from Jefferson County in the studio with us, finishing up the show with us. Sheriff, for people who don't quite understand the difference, can you just explain the basics, the difference between a county police department and a sheriff's department?
For the sheriff's office, I'm an elected official.
Mm-hmm.
And so the citizens of Jefferson County chose me through an election. My responsibilities, unlike maybe a police department, expand a little bit farther because not only am I responsible for law enforcement operations throughout the county, I also have the courts. I also have things like civil process, prisoner transport.
I didn't know that.
We have a 334-bed jail facility that I'm responsible for. So the primary law enforcement officer for Jefferson County, representing 225,000 people. You know, what's kind of unique about the sheriff's office is that unlike St. Louis County with, you know, those 93 different municipalities, the sheriff's office is responsible for 94% of the territory, which is 664 square miles. Land-wise, it's larger than St. Louis County. And then the population, a majority resides in unincorporated Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're responsible for 74% of the population.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's a little bit different. The beauty of it is I actually, you know, at times get a share an opinion. And I do not have to report to a mayor. A county executive on what I do or what I say.
Yeah.
So I'm truly a representative of the people, and I consistently get feedback in terms of what their goals are for our community, and so that's probably the biggest difference.
As Jefferson County expands, we talked about that in the last segment, about the population increasing. Is there more of a chance of a more, you know, the, I don't want to say traditional, but those, you know, those more government-based police departments coming in? Or is the way that Jefferson County is set up, the sheriff's department pretty much handles it all no matter what happens?
Well, the vote would go to the people to change the county charter. Okay. And as the charter stands, you know, I'm the elected official, and I have the right to appoint my number two, which is the undersheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other positions are protected through a merit-based system. And so, you know, even, you know, I get to decide the culture of the organization and the direction. But, you know, we have in place a long line of people who are professional and ready to go and take that leadership position if it ever comes to that. And whether it will or not, you know, it remains to be seen. But the people I speak with throughout our community are happy with an elected sheriff who will say what needs to be said and take a position for them for their community and won't kowtow, you know, down to some people. And so, you know, I think for us, as things go forward, I expect that the county will have a sheriff for quite some time.
Very good.
Are you kind of like Sheriff Joe then? You know, you don't.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I'm not as vocal, and, you know, I look out for litigation. So I'm a little more cautious in that for our taxpayer dollars. We don't have Maricopa County money. So I have to tread lightly. And of course, we want to be, you know, our goal is to have a professional organization that you can rely upon. It's not to, you know, be out there banging the drum every day. We pick our battles, and we pick them, you know, kind of strategically based on our goals of keeping our community safe. And that's really where our focus is. It's not about, you know, who can be the loudest and who can get the most TV time.
So I've got a couple questions here that have been submitted to us. I want to get both of your answers on this. Aaron is always good at breaking down the laws for us and explaining, and sort of also does it good with suggesting things, you know, what might be the right way to go, and maybe also the right weapons to use in certain situations. Sheriff, want to get your thoughts on these as well. Don't forget, you can always continue to submit these questions on Facebook, the Southern Armory Facebook page and the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. Two great places to go. Ask your questions throughout the week and also keep up with what's happening at Southern Armory. And Aaron does live streams throughout the week. Great stuff to check out on
and
the Southern
I got
Armory.
One apology.
Yeah,
there was a Facebook suggestion, and then I answered him, and I said, well, talk about it this week on the show, and then I forgot Sheriff Marshak was here. So
that is my bad.
I gave you the answer that you needed, and that is my bad. I know you're probably listening, and you're like, hey, long time. He's asked questions before, so it was a good, you know, good chat back and forth. And then, but we'll get to it next week.
There you go.
Or maybe I'll do a little live stream, and we'll talk about it next week too.
Perfect.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's
sure
my
always,
bad.
Yeah. Make sure you're always keeping an eye on Southern Armory and Second Amendment Radio on Facebook. Been sitting on this one for a couple of weeks. I'm glad that Sheriff is here. Want to get his thoughts on this one as well. Somebody asked a while back, is it legal to try to stop a crime that doesn't involve you with your gun? So if you see somebody robbing your neighbor, that's been a very famous case, you know, that we've seen somebody robbing your neighbor's house, or you're driving down the street and you see an assault taking place.
Yeah.
Can you legally get involved with your weapon if it's not something that's happening to you?
You want to rock, paper, scissors for it, or you want me to go?
You know, okay. I'll go short, and then you can
I'll go long. Okay.
I will just tell you that that's a big subject, and it's very subjective with a lot of different possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you two things. One is that when you introduce a firearm in any situation, the potential for it to go to the next level is always there. So choose wisely, number one. And then number two, I think you have a personal responsibility to be more disciplined and really consider the outcome before you introduce a firearm, regardless of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
You have a you know, responsibility and the ability to protect yourself. But my word of caution would be is use that responsibility, make a good decision in terms of whether you're going to introduce yourself into somebody else's situation, particularly with a firearm.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm sure that question comes up in
all
CCW
the time.
Classes.
And so what I tell people is, you know, I'm a big palms guy. So that's just funny. It says rescue the weak and the needy and deliver them from the hands of the wicked. So what does that mean? Does that mean jump into that situation and pull out your firearm? No, not necessarily. So there's a couple scenarios I tell people. I'm like, okay, you're walking out of a store, you get into a parking lot, you see two guys throwing fists, right? They're like, yeah. One of them pulls out a knife. Which one do you shoot? And they're like, oh, the guy with the knife. And I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. Well, you just killed the dad who was getting carjacked with his kids in the car seat in the back. And they're like, oh. And I go, yeah. So I go, here's what you can do. Take a step back. Call 911. Who you are, where you are, what you see, description of the individuals, and then if they escape with a vehicle, vehicle description, direction of travel.
Yeah. And I would say, know this. If you introduce yourself into a situation in which you use force, in which somebody is going to get, you know, serious physically injured or result in death, that as a citizen now, you could be put on trial just like the police. Yeah. Right? You are going to be in a position where you have to articulate why you did these things and defend yourself, not only in the criminal arena, but what's going to certainly follow after is the civil arena. And, you know, a number of years ago, we've seen kind of things shift where, you know, even as a private citizen, you could be put on public trial for these decisions. And I think it's important to remind people out there that when you introduce a firearm into a situation, do it responsibly and make sure you can articulate that argument.
So we only have a couple minutes left. I wanted to make sure that we get to this one because it was an actual situation that we saw here in the region just a couple weeks ago at the Chesterfield Mall. Possible abduction was taking place, and a guy who was getting abducted, he was being attacked by multiple people, and they were trying to take him away. Apparently, the story goes is that they owed he owed them some money, and they were going to go get that money from him. And what he did was he took his gun out and he shot it in the air five times in order to try to scare them away and stop the abduction. It's an interesting case because is that the right way to handle that, or or in this case is it better to shoot at the person because shooting in the sky is a whole different story? So Sheriff, I want to get your thoughts, and then Aaron, follow up.
What goes up must come down.
Right. So you're responsible for every bullet, every projectile leaves your firearm. So now if it breaks a windshield, strikes a person,
he's thinking to himself, I don't want to kill anybody, but I also don't want to get abducted. So I'm going to introduce my gun to try to defuse the situation.
The other part is, you know, Missouri statutes, and correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, don't allow for warning shots. They don't allow for people to be, you know, wounded, you know. So if you're going to introduce a firearm, you better be in fear for serious bodily injury or death. And you better use it just like that. So you use it and shoot them, you know. And then if you're a really horrible shot, you hit them in the leg and you wound them and you stop it and that's it. And if you really do aim at the leg, not that I'm giving legal advice here, but if you really do aim at the leg and you stop it, then you just tell them, I was in fear for my life. I was trying to kill him, but I'm a really horrible shot.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably pretty believable when you're just a private individual. You may not shoot that much.
Yeah.
You got any follow-up on that, Sheriff? Or?
No, I mean, you know, there's so many different circumstances, but I think, again, to validate, you know, what the law is with a solid, articulable argument as to why you did these things and why it was necessary are going to be, point on for a citizen out there who's, you know, legally carrying a firearm to protect himself or another. You have to have the justification and you have to have the follow-up to articulate that
argument. And kidnapping is a forcible felony.
Yeah.
And I would be definitely
an appropriate time to pull your if you're being abducted,
that's a threat of serious bodily injury. They might kill you. I think that's nobody's going to argue against that. Right. And definitely kidnapping is cited in the statute as forcible felony. And
that is Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Also in studio with us has been Jefferson County Sheriff Dave Marshak. Before we end the show today, Sheriff, Aaron always talks about following you on Twitter. How can people follow you on social media if you want them to? And how can people also keep up with what's happening in Jefferson County?
Sure. You know, I'm pretty active on Twitter. At least I try to be and educate our community in terms of what's going on and breaking news. And then also on Facebook, you have an opportunity to kind of get an idea of where we are, not only as a sheriff's office, but my particular positions on some things to educate voters and the community. So I'm happy to participate online in debate and communication conversation. So thanks again for having
me. What's that Twitter handle?
I'm sorry?
How do they follow you on Twitter? What is it? At
Sheriff Dave Marshak. At Sheriff Marshak.
There you go.
I even forget sometimes.
Yeah. and then Jefferson County Sheriff's Department. You can follow them on Facebook.
Yeah, we have a large online presence. So you know, you can catch us on our website or Facebook or Twitter. And you know, again, we tried to be out there in the community and let people know what's going on and participate and answer questions and then let the community know that we are part of them. We are part of the community.
It's a good way to interact and not have to be victimized.
I think we're probably one of the most transparent organizations in the entire region.
Sheriff Marshak, we always appreciate you.
I appreciate
being
you guys having me. Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
we had a bunch of questions left over, so we're going to have you back now.
Yeah, we'll have to have you back on again real soon. All right, for Aaron Tarlow and Chad Ellis, I am Tony Colombo. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week back here for Second Amendment Radio on FM News Talk 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.